Now we're up to the, this is what, the fourth shiur, I think, of this week so far. This is a difficult shiur. There's a difficult topic. There are a lot of things going on. We'll see where my mind goes. I'm not sure it's going to go everywhere. Hopefully you don't lose me. But before we begin this sugya, I just mamash came across another point related to Ben Chalutz from yesterday, the past 2 days. And it's a very important ha'ara, I think, worthwhile sharing. So we explained thus far two different ways the machlok is between the Rishonim, whether or not Ben Chalutz, Edom, Zomer, and Ben Chalutz, whether they get Malkus or not. That was what we've been discussing, right? The first approach was about Lo Sasser. They argue about Lo Sasser, whether it applies and their abundance turn into their rices. That was the first approach. That was by Reb Shmuel Kofsky. Then we saw the second Shachas on Yecheskel that nothing to do with Lo Sasser had to do with the nature of the Edis of Ben Grusha, about whether that's midin Edim Zomim of Kasher Zomim, or it's a different special din, whether that would apply Ben Chalutza. And I started learning the third parak a little bit. And right here, there's a Rashi and Tosos, it's another pshat, a whole other pshat, what's going on here, of Ben Chalutza. And if you want to quickly look in the third parak, Daf Yud Gimel, the Mishnah lists various types of averas that are subject to Malkos, the Elohim Alokin, and it lists a lot of them. And on that list, it says Grusha v'Chalutza, Yechayev Malkus deraisa. So Rashi says that there's a reboy in the Gemara in Kedushin that includes a Chalutza. And Tosa says, well, that seems from Rashi that Chalutza is an Issa deraisa. For Kohen to marry a Chalutza is an Issa deraisa. That's not true. He doesn't think that's the case. And he argues. He says it's not, it shouldn't really be there. It just kind of put it to Agav Orcha, Agav Grusha, we add Chalutza. Just like the Ritva said in Dav Beis, so to the Tosa says here, and Dav Yud Gimel, Chalutza really shouldn't be on the list here. But according to Rashi, the Tosa says, it sounds like from Rashi, it's a real Issa deraisa of Chalutza, would be subject to Malkus deraisa if a Kohen were to marry a Chalutza. What's Pshat in Rashi? It seems to go against what everyone else holds, that Chalutza is only midirbanan for a Kohen to marry Chalutza. So the Meshech Chachma writes in Parshas Emor that Rabbi Akiva Shita in Yivamos is that Chalutza, Kohen to marry Chalutza, is also in Isser Daraisa, that Shita is Rabbi Kiva, and a Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. So the Stam Mishnah here is Rabbi Kiva, so Chalutza is also Daraisa. Stam Mishnah Dab Beis also would be Chalutza Daraisa. So when Rashi says Chalutza, everything works out perfectly. It's great, not because of Lo Sasser, not because of Edom Zomim, it's because Chalutza is an Isser Daraisa. For according to my Chalutza, that would mean the child would be a Chalal in the world of Rabbi Kiva, and everything works perfectly. Look at the Ritva there also, it goes back and forth about this. But that seems to be a third pshat, maybe the most likely pshat, based on the very clear Rashi Tosos here.
This is not Mishnah
Rameh. Rameh is a Talmud Rabbi Kiva. Fine. What?
It could be either one.
They're of the same school.
What if, it doesn't say if a Kohen marries a Grusha and a Chalutza, he only gets one
what?
Pair of lashes?
Yeah,
40 lashes only and not... And not more? Because
yeah.
Because it's only one prohibition?
Yeah, because Ein Isser Chal Isser, meaning even Chalutz is an Isser Deraisa, it can't be Chal on top of a Grusha that already exists. But that's a different topic. Let's get back to the point, but that's a good question. But that's, either way, that's a third shot. Let's now move to our Sugya today. Okay, the Aruch Haner has this comment based on the Gemara, and the Gemara has the Lashon of Kashir Zamam Lasos Veleka, and I thought it was a worthwhile Sugya to go through, that he raises the question. And now keep in mind as we go through this sugya, and every sugya related to Edom Zomim, the importance of chakiras is that once you have the chakir in your mind, you're now sensitive to every single machlokas can, not necessarily, but can go back to that initial source, that initial chakira. So here you have the Aruch Haner ask the question. He says, Kasher Zomim Lasos, Hare Lasos U'maisa, don't you need a Maisa? And like in general, by all other halachas of Lavim, you need a lav sheyesh b'maisa's malchus, lav she'ein b'maisa, there are no malchus. Now, that very question of the Aruch Haner, the fact that he's connecting it to lav she'ein b'maisa, tells us like it's a general halacha, it's not a chiddush. Remember at the beginning we spoke about whether Edom Zomim is a chiddush HaTorah, it's not subject to other rules, or it is subject to other rules, it's no different, it's a type of nezikin. So I believe the very question, his premise is, the fact that he's lumping them together, he assumes that Edom Zomim must fall into the same criteria as all other halachas related to this. Maybe not, but either way, he wants to know, where's the Maisa here? The Edom testified, but where's the Maisa that the Edom are going to be responsible now for, they're going to get Malkus for what Maisa did they do? And he goes on to bring another couple of the cases where we see that there's Edim Zomimim, and they get the punishment even though no Maisa happened. And so he ends up answering based on Tosas and Sanhedrin, Daf Samechei, that although the Edim Zomim themselves did not do a Maisa, but they caused a Maisa, they triggered a Maisa. And he goes on to give examples how you have it by all the cases, but it triggered a Maisa. They didn't do a Maisa, Edim Zomim, but they triggered a Maisa. What comes out from this is that the Aruch HaNer does require a Maisa by Edim Zomim. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense. He needs to fit into having a Maisa.
Is it a potential Maisa? Like it could have happened if they were ended up getting the pet in trouble.
Exactly. Nothing actually happened here. So it's something that would potential Maisa, which itself a very good point, which itself is a chiddush that itself is called the Maisa. A potential Maisa is also called the Maisa.
Okay.
Which Maisa? What's the potential Maisa though?
He goes through all the different details here. So Ben Grusha, for example, our case here, that he, you know, if he does the avoda or if he eats shuma, he's getting a malchus because he's a chalal now. So he's causing someone to do a maisa. That's the chiddush, a potential maisa, the expansion of that definition. Now, just to show it's not such a crazy thing, just because you asked the question, it's a great point. We have a machlokis in the Mishnah Bab Metzia between Beis Hillel Beis Shammai about shlichas yad. If I'm a shomer, so there's certain things I'm obligated to do and certain things I'm exempt from. But if I'm a shalech yad, the pasuk says, if I use it, touch it, now I'm chayv in everything. I'm responsible for anything that happens to it. If I'm a shomer chinam, let's say, for example, and onus happens to it, I'm pater. If I'm shalech yad, so now I'm responsible for everything. So Beis Hillel says, you have to mamish b'maisa shlichas yad. Beis Shammai, although we don't pasuk this way, I'm just trying to bring a point out. If you think, if you're chishev l'shalech yad, that alone, that's called shlichas yad. I didn't do any maisa. I thought about doing a maisa. But at least that's a model where we have elsewhere. Now, we don't hold like Beis Shammai ever, but in the end of the day, such a concept exists. This is a bit more than just a machshava. There's a dibur involved here, but that's a very, very important point. He does expand the definition of a maisa, but again, we see that the Aruch HaNer does require a maisa in order to justify how we could get malchus, how we could get any punishment.
Wasn't he going on the fact that what they were testifying on wasn't a maisa that took place? Like being a Ben Grusha, a Ben Chutzah, isn't a maisa?
Right, but then his answer is that because that could lead to a Maisa.
He's saying that in Akhenami their testimony isn't a Maisa, but the problem is we need a Maisa of what their testimony is on. Like we need like a murder, not like a being turning you into a Ben Grusha.
I'm saying that the initial Eidim Zomim makes sense. Eidim Zomim makes sense. If they're doing something where they're going to now kill the guy, get him skila, that would be Eidim that would create a Maisa directly. And that he understands that. But it just renders a person a Ben Chalutza that didn't cause any Maisa. Where's the Maisa there? So now it expands the definition of Maisa could be not only where they trigger a Maisa directly, but even if it's indirect, whereby they, the Nidon, would then have to do a Maisa to be subject to an Isser, that also is called a Maisa. So he's expanding what's called a Maisa here, but he certainly requires a Maisa to get have this discussion. Okay. Now, this is all based on a Tosas in Sanhedrin that assumes Edim Zomim, in fact, does have a Maisa attached to it, which goes against all the other Rishonim. Before we go through the Rishonim, just to point out that Yesod, that against Aruch HaNer, against a Tosos, they're completely fine by the fact that Edim Zomim doesn't have a Maisa, and you can still have Malchus. They're not bothered by that. Ah, lafshim b'maisa, ain't lokin alav. Meaning what? Exactly. It's not in the world. It's a whole chiddush Torah. It's a whole nother. We don't have to follow general rules when it comes to Edom Zomim. The whole concept is chiddush. That may not necessarily be the second answer to Tosas, but I hear the idea you're saying. It's a chiddush Torah versus the Nezikin. Really, that first chakir we spoke of, it's exempt from all types of rules, and that's why they're comfortable saying that there's no Maisa. So let's talk about this question. Is there a Maisa or not a Maisa when it comes to Edom Zomim? Yes.
Can you explain what the Maisa is in Bava Kama with his eye and his tooth?
That case? Let's do it afterwards because I know it's ready in, but Blina there. Actually, I have to run afterwards, but I'll Blina there later. I'll explain that to you. Now, so the Gemara here in Edom Zomim, in the Sanhedrin, rather, Samachem Beis, is talking about bringing a carbon. Hopefully, you had a chance to read the Rashi a bit. The par koin Mashiach. That only when there's a Maisa is a person chayv to bring a carbon. And the Gemara says, as opposed to Edim Zomim, where there is no Maisa. So the Gemara says, what do you have elsewhere where Dibur, the Dibur of a Kol, by Chasma Bakol, If you muzzle an animal by scaring him every time he tries eating it, you don't physically muzzle him, but your voice causes him to be muzzled and prevent him from eating. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you're chayiv. So isn't that a kimas piv is a havi maisa? And the Gemara says, no, you're right, the dibur is really a maisa, but the Edom Zomim is re'iyah. It's re'iyah. We have to speak about re'iyah for a second. It's re'iyah. I actually wanted to mention the Rambam first, just because it's a little bit more clear, organized. So let me just go to the Rambam. We'll go back to Rashi in just a second. Hold that point. The Rambam clearly argues in the Tosfos. And the Rambam writes that Edom Zomim has no maisa, ain bo maisa. Tosfos says that there is a maisa. Archaner says there is a maisa. That's why you could explain this malchus lav she yesh bo maisa. The Rambam writes clearly in Perek Chaf Halacha Dalet that there is no maisa. The ain le edim zomim shgaga, the fish ain ba maisa. There's no carbon shgaga. He's referring to this gemara here. There's no shgaga for the edim zomim because there's no maisa. And then just because this connects as well to this, lufikach says the Rambam ain tzuichin hasra kamoshi be'arnu. There's no hasra either. And the Rabbi says, what do you mean? I mean, that's nothing to do. What do the two have to do with each other? What does Hasra have to do with the Edom Zomim not having a Maisa? And he says, are you going to tell me that Megadev, which a person curses Hashem, which is also a Dibor no Maisa, there's no Hasra by Megadev? Yes, there's Hasra by Megadev. So, again, this Hasra, the world of Hasra is a whole other sugya. It's a big topic. I want to just leave you with one yesod of Hasra, but we could talk about this for days. When you need Hasra, when you don't need Hasra, there are many exceptions of Hasra. This Rambam is very important when it comes to Hasra, because typically, what's the point of Hasra? If I were to ask you, what's the point of Hasra?
To warn
To decipher. The Havchin Ben Shogel Mezit. To decipher what the guy's intentions are. Was he doing it on purpose or not? That's Pashup Shat. The Gemara says this in a few places. There is another shot in this. It's based on a Tosos in the Sanhedrin Daf Mem Amud Beis, where the Gemara asks there, Minayin l'Hasra b'Torah, what's the source of Hasra? Tosos says, what do you mean, a source? You need it because how else do you know if the guy did a Shogun Amazed? It's a Svara. So he says, oh, it must be referring to a Chaver who's a Tamil Chacham. He, of course, is doing a Amazed. So how do you know even a Chaver who's doing a Amazed, he needs Hasra as well? That's what the Gemara is talking about. So why does a Chaver need Hasra? You asked me this the other day? Yeah. Why does a chaver need hasra? If a chaver knows the halacha, a chaver is a talmud chacham, he knows what he's doing. So why does he need hasra?
Why does he need it in that case? Well, in other cases, like for example, the learned woman doesn't need it in that case.
Right. So let's keep it simple for now. But why does a chaver need hasra in general? It's always mazed for him, Yusuf. So the Torah doesn't explain why, but that's the Gemara is telling us that we need a source that even a chaver needs. But why, Lamaisa? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on this Rambam, that Hasra is not only for Bezdin to know whether a Shogig Lemezid, but rather Hasra makes the Maisa even worse. It's a din in the Maisa as opposed to the Kavanah of the person. So let's say I'm doing someone's doing a Maisa with Sicha, and doing a Chilul Shabbos. It's a terrible thing. But let's say he does it in the face of someone telling him, don't do that. It's a Shabbos. Osas HaMelech B'Shabbos, don't do this. And he does it anyways. So that Hasra actually made that Maisa even worse. It made it stronger. So God does an Aveira, it's a terrible thing. But the only time a person's Chai Misa, if he does the Aveira in the face, in the context of Hasra, it strengthens, it bolsters that Maisa. So it's a din of the Maisa, not a din of the Havchin Bein Shogi L'Mezit. So when the Rambam says that, Ein le'edim zomim l'fi shein b'maisa, l'fikach ein tzich masra, okay, there's no Maisa, there's no Hasra. The Hasra only is there to be Mechazek a Maisa. If there's no Maisa, you don't need Hasra. And the Ravid argues and says, no, it has nothing to do with a mice at all. Hasra is lahavchin bein shogig lemezid. That din a mice. And even though Megadev has no mice to it, you still have to know whether the guy is doing it to be kavanah or not be kavanah, be mezid be shogig. And that's one point in the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether Hasra is a din in lahavchin shogig be mezid, or whether it's a din in the mice. Yeah.
Aren't there cases where a shogig, like someone knows the lachan and they have like a lapse, so they forget it?
Yeah, so that would be the other explanation why a chaver would require hasra, because he might have forgotten. That would be perhaps the simplest pshat. The Tosfos doesn't seem to say that. Tosfos seems to assume that a chaver is bemezid. Says l'havchin shogi bemezid of misvara, so you must need it for a chaver. Well, maybe the chaver is also l'havchin bein shogi bemezid. He doesn't suggest that. He just says that a chaver needs It sounds like Afa P is doing Bemezid. So that seems to be the idea. Now that's one point about Hasra. Now the other point here is the Rambam, when he says the explanation of Edom Zomim not needing Hasra is because of no Maisa. The problem is the Radbaz there says that the Gemara gives a different reason. The Gemara gives a different reason in Ksubis why Edom Zomim don't have Hasra. And they say as follows. Because the Edom tried having Reuven killed, let's say. They tried saying Reuven was Mechal Shabbos. They're trying to have him killed. Now, it wasn't fair. Reuven never got Hasra. The whole thing was made up. Reuven didn't get Hasra. So now we're saying they tried killing Reuven without giving Hasra. So now you're going to say, but they're going to get punished only if the Edom Zomim had Hasra? It's not congruent. It's not fair. It's not parallel. So I read you the language, how the Radbaz quotes the Gemara. Isaka daitach Edom Zomim tzrichen Hasra. They do require Hasra. Kilo masrin, but if you don't warn them, that means they're off the hook then. Lo katlinala, you don't kill them if they require Hasra. And you don't give them Hasra, they don't get killed. So that asks Gemara, mi, is there anything? De inu, the Edom Zomim, boy Kali, they wanted to kill Reuven below Hasra without warning Reuven. The inu ba Hasra, but now they actually have a cool for them. They won't get killed unless they get Hasra. That's not fair. But inim basisim lo kashir zomim lasos lo'achiv. Velaka has to be equal. That's a Gemara Svara. Rambam completely ignores that Svara. Says, you know why there's no Edom, why there's no Hasra by Edom Zomim? There's no Maisa. How does he ignore that Gemara? So what do you think, guys? I think this boils down to that same Chakira, whether or not Edom Zomim is a general halacha type of Nezikin, or it's a unique Chiddush HaTorah. The Gemara in Ksubis is assuming it's a Chiddush HaTorah, it's a special halacha, and Edom Zomim, whatever he gets, they get, back and forth. That's in the world of Edom Zomim that's very unique, exclusive to anything else. The Rambam didn't assume that way. He assumed, like other Gemaras, that sounds like Edom Zomim is a regular din in Nezikin. It's a regular din in Nezikin. And the regular din in Nezikin is, if there's a Maisa, there's a Asra. If there's no Maisa, there's no Asra. And that's what comes out from this. Okay, now those are two important points, but again, those are more parenthetical. I'm sorry, but back to our main focus right now is that the Rambam holds that Edom Zomim has no Maisa. There's no Maisa by Edom Zomim. While Tosa says that there is a Maisa. So the Rishonim argue and debate, why is there no Maisa when it comes to Edom Zomim? So we saw in Rashi that, in the Gemara says it, and Rashi explains it, has this girsa, because there's no mice in the Re'iyah. Now, Gabriel asked a great question. What was your question?
Edom men don't see the whole point is that they're lying. They never saw
anything. They never saw anything. What does that even mean, there's a Re'iyah? They didn't see anything. They made up what they saw. So the Rashi says, either way, there is a Re'iyah, there's no Re'iyah, or Re'iyah is not a Maisa, and therefore Edom Zomim is not called the Maisa, and we'll get back to explaining Rashi's Re'iyah. But the other Rishonim in the Rif is a very long Rif here, different yourselves, different nuschaos. We got to the end, very fascinating. You don't find this often in a Rif quoting Medrash Agada. In the, you know, the point of the Rif, what he tried accomplishing was, he tried to remove all the Shach V'Tarya, removing all the Gata, and just have Halach L'maisa. The Rif was Halach L'maisa. Now, the beginning of the Beis Yosef writes in the beginning that he tried having Machri the Din based on the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam, who were three Gedolei Poskim. So the Rif's intention was just to give Halach L'maisa, but yet he brought an interesting Medrash Agada here, that he says it's not about the Re'iyah, it's about the Dibur, the speaking, the Haggadah Ha'edus. When the Edom give the Edus over and they're articulating words, that Dibur isn't a Maisa. That's what the Rif says. And he says Elashon Ishin shouldn't be Re'iyah, but it should be Bia or Ba or Ia, different languages, but somehow he's talking about different words, different letters rather. You need your lips and other ones you don't need your lips for. Yes, moving your lips is a maisa. Not moving your lips saying ah, ayina, hey, just your throat gutturals, that's not called a maisa. And so the Rif writes, even though it's possible you could move your lips and create a maisa, but since it's also possible to not move your lips and to articulate what you want to say, You could nod your head. You could make some sound from your throat without having to use your lips. This is categorized as a non-maisa because the divor, not because of the ri'iyah. Rashi said the ri'iyah, seeing isn't a maisa, and the Rif says the dibur isn't a maisa. Now, the Ron just clarifies a little bit. Ain echanami, when you say other letters, other vowels, you move your throat, you move your teeth sometimes, but that's not a maisa that's nearly a naim. Lips are. So he just acknowledges there are small maisim, but it doesn't register lahalacha. Fine. The Aruch Lener would be calling it a small, why, small maisa? His dibor is that the dibor creates a real maisa. It triggers a actual maisa.
You wouldn't hold dibor as a maisa.
Right, you hold dibor as not maisa, but it causes something else to be do a maisa.
Therefore,
he thinks it's called a maisa. The riff would not say it. The riff would not, no. Has to be right. What are the Edom doing directly? We can't look at what's going to trigger. That's also part of my focus. How expansive could a maisa be? So Aruch Lener and the Tosos take liberty in making it very indirect. Yeah.
I know it's a little off topic, but like, let's just say I'm saying a bracha, right? And maisa, that's like, probably, maybe say a bracha without using all the movement of the lips. That's the stuck on
something. Baruch is the first word in bracha.
And especially after you say in Aramaic, whatever in English.
Okay.
It's stuck on the bracha. So if I were to say it without moving the lips, would work as a bracha or no?
If you don't pronounce the words properly, if
no,
you
could somehow. I said it in English and I didn't
have to. Yeah, as long as you said what you have to say.
But I didn't do a
mice. Who said you have to do a mice? You have to do a dibur. You have to do a dibur. Well, that's a different topic, but not for now. Fine. So either way, this is the machlokas between the Rif and Rashi, whether the lav mice, lav a mice by the Adam Zoma is because of the ri'iyah or because the dibur is not a mice. Now, as Gabriel pointed out, then he was mechavin to the shayla of the Mechames Hashem, the Ramban in the bottom there. Ramban says, if you look in the bottom there, the Mechames Hashem, I'll say outside the question, and we'll look at the answer together. He says, they didn't see what they're talking about. What re is there to even speak of? They made the whole thing up. So let's read the Mechames Hashem, the left column, Al Yiksheh. Let's read that. He assumes that there's no maisa. He assumes like the riff that dibur is not a maisa, because you could say it without having to move your lips. Moving your lips would be a maisa, but since you could say it without a maisa, the whole category of Edom Zomim is called lav maisa. So now look at what he writes here, and then from this we'll look at a brisker of. I couldn't find it here. I couldn't find it to send it to you guys, but either way I'll share with you a brisker of, which would then hopefully explain the Shittas Rashi. So the Mechames Hashem writes, "Al yiksha lecha chasma b'kol dechashiv lei Rabbi Yochanan Ma'isa sheish." How come by the chasma with your voice muzzling, it is called a ma'isa when you speak? Sheish lomer dechi aminin hol hani milil in carbon. When we say it's not a ma'isa, that's dafka lagabe a carbon. Do we say dibur isn't a ma'isa? Diksive asiya, it says in the pasuk you need asiya. Lotzi dibur she ein ba ma'isa li olam. Dicheven de ikra diburhu, de mechayven le li olam mid hakasa. Since the dibur is always what triggers a person by edim zomim mid hakasa dibur sheish bo hakses vasayim ki dibur she ein bo hakses vasayim de binin torah achas li olse. I mean, when it comes to the world of karbanos, the pasuk says you need a ma'isa to be mechayv you a karban. So since Edom Zomim can sometimes be without a Maisa, that whole category is not called, it's called a non-Maisa. Even though I could also use a Maisa with lips, it's a category of non-Maisa. Again, we'll have to look the brisker off to appreciate this distinction in just a second. Aval chasima b'kol, linen malkos, kalecha dikar, axis fasayim chayiv, v'lo also bo dibor sheish bo Maisa, zuta, ki dibor sheim bo Maisa klau. So what he says is as follows. By chasima, depends what the person said. If the person said a statement with his lips, he did a maisa, he would be mechayv malchus there. If he said a statement to the animal without using his lips, it would not be maisa, he would not be subject to malchus here. It depends when it comes to the chasima b'kol, what did he actually say? So it comes to Chiyah Malkos, was there a Maisa or was there not a Maisa? When it comes to the world of Karbanos, it's not about whether there was a Maisa or not. Is this type of Avera a Maisa Dik Avera or not a non-Maisa Dik Avera? When I did Lamaisa, who cares? But since Be'etzim Edim Zomim, Dibur, is a non-action type of Avera as a category, even though Lamaisa I may have used my lips, but as a category, it's a non-Maisa category, therefore it's never subject to Karbanos, even if I do use a Maisa. Yeah, I'm losing you guys. I'll say that again. What the Ramban says is, remember, the context of the Gemara Sanhedrin that says Edom Zomim is not a Maisa is talking about the Chiv to bring Karbanos. And since there's no Maisa by Edom Zomim, so it's not subject to the Chiv Chatas. So Ramban says, but sometimes you could use your mouth, your lips, and that would be a Maisa. Because you're right, you can, but when it comes to Karbanos, we care about the Chefts of this Avera. Is this Avera a category of a Dibur, a non-Maisa, or is it a category of a Maisa? There's certain types of Averas, murder, let's say. Murder is a category that's subject to a Maisa. A Maisa is murder. Let's say a guy happens to kill with his mouth, without a Maisa. It's still a category of a Maisa. I don't care La Maisa what a person did when it came to a Karban. I care what's the category. If you look, for example, the Sefer Yireim, the Sefer Yireim, a Sefer in the Mitzvahs, he categorizes different types of mitzvahs, different types of averas. Some averas are b'kol, some averas are b'maisa. So what category would it be? Murder would probably, I don't know what he said, I imagine put it under the category of being a maisa. And Edom Zomim would be under the category of a dibur. Now, even though sometimes you could do a maisa for Edom Zomim, and sometimes you could do a dibur for Ritzicha, let's say, I don't care about what you actually do. What is the category? The category when it comes to Karbanos. But when it comes to the Chiyav Malkos, as in Chasima Bakol, I don't care what the category is. Did I do a Maisa? Or did I not do a Maisa? If I spoke with a Beis and a Pei and I did a Maisa with the lips, that's Mechayev Malkos. If I spoke with the Ah and the Ayin without the lips, that would not be a Maisa, it would not be subject to the Malkos. That's in essence what the Brisker Rav says to explain this Ramban. And now with this Chiluk, he says that might be Pshat in Rashi as well, when he says Re'iyah. Again, I'm not fully comfortable with this, and you have to read this again. I don't like reading on the computer these things, since it doesn't feel the same. But it seems that he's explaining for Rashi that when he says Re'iyah, he's talking about Edom Zomim being a category of Re'iyah. It's, yeah, Lamaisa, there was no Re'iyah that the Edom saw. It's Edom Zomim we're talking about here. But Edom is a category of Re'iyah. It's a category that is not subject to a Maisa. Now, even though they may have done a Maisa, but the Ria is where it starts off. Typical Eda starts with a Ria, and then there's a Haggadah afterwards. But since they're communicating what they saw, it's the Ria that's really the creation of the Edis. And since Ria isn't a Maisa, even though they may have used a Maisa in their Haggadah, the Maisa is a category that's not a Maisa and not subject to the Karban Chatas at all. That's what how he explains Rashi. Now, again, I feel like we got pretty deep right now. I feel like I lost some of you guys here. It probably requires some chazar. This is a very deep sugya here, hard sugya. But you have to understand that in the end, both the Ramban and Rashi agree that there's a category that's not subject to a Maisa. It's just that Rashi focuses on the Ria and the Ramban focuses on the Dibur element. What the difference is not for now, but that's what comes out from all this. A few questions, yeah.
When it comes to the Ramban, he says Taurus, by Karbanos, it's Taurus Achas, like one category.
Exactly.
And by Malkus, it's multiple. There's no categories?
Exactly. No categories. What did you actually do? Okay. Excellent. Very good. I really should find this Brisker Rav. It's in Krisa's Dav Dal and Alpha in the Brisker Rav. We need to work on this base measure. Shemir Tashem soon. Yeah.
Is there any other example where of a law where the mazid you would get malchus and you wouldn't show you wouldn't get
a there probably would be. Yeah, anything that would fit into the category. Right now I can't think of any, but anything that would fit into such a category seemingly it should apply, yeah.
When the Gemara says Re'iyah, you just say that it's not solely that the fact that they're speaking is okay, it's a maisa, but it's not, it doesn't matter, it's what they're speaking about, which would be just what they technically didn't see, but the
It's clearly what they're talking about would be the Ria, not that they're talking about.
But there's no actual Ria.
But that's what they're saying they saw.
Yeah.
That's not a Maisa.
It could be.
A topic on what you're speaking about isn't a Maisa. That you're speaking, fine, but that doesn't.
But then Ria wouldn't be the proper use. It would be very inaccurate because they didn't really see anything. Gemara could use a different word to say there was imagination. It was the machshavas, it was chalomos, whatever it was. So either way, so that's that. This got pretty deep, guys. So let's. Tomorrow's shir, by the way, is much lighter. What's tomorrow's? So I'll do a little bit more, but chiv galus is a much lighter topic. The next few actually are going to be a bit lighter, I think. The first few here were very, very challenging, but keep with it. Now let's do one last piece here, one last sugya related to this topic, which is as follows. I apologize, by the way. The Minchas Chinuch I put on was the wrong page. I'm not good at the computer stuff. So either way, it's not here, but the Urim V'Tumim is the right one. There's a din in the Gemara in Gittin that says Edim mipim v'lo mipiksavim, that Edis could only be given through Haggadah's Edis, by speaking. You can't write down your Edis. You have to speak it. Apiyam. That's the din. Now, there's a Kesem Mishnah, which was on your Marma comments. I don't know if you had a chance to see this, but the Kesem Mishnah writes in the end of Perek Tes of Hilchos Eidus, the Kesem Mishnah says, a person who's capable of speaking, he actually can write down his Eidus. Kevin Sheroy Lahagid Lishmo, Kasher, Dechala Roy Labila Ein Bila Makeves. Meaning, if a person is mute and can't speak, and he can't write down his Eidus. A person can speak, so then he can write down his Eidus. So the Minchas Chinuch asks the following question. If that's the case, so we assume against Tosos, we assume against Aruch HaNer that Ein Zomim is Ein B'maisa. So Minchas Chinuch asks, he says, wait a second. He says, let me find this on my notes here. Here we go. But I wrote up a lot of this stuff that we've been going through, working on a sefer, maybe Mitzvah one day. That Lina, I'll try to print it out Friday for you guys, those who want a chazer. Things typed up. Any mistakes you have, please let me know. But we'll see if I can get that out to you. Either way, writes, if it's true that the Kesem Mishnah is correct, that you could write down your Eidus, it could be Ksiva, Im Kein Ba Eidim Zomim Mishkachas Aide Maisa. That means there can be Maisa. If the Eidim decide to testify through a Ksiva, wouldn't that be a Ksiva? And it would be a Maisa? And he quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Lashon Re'iyah, and Rashi, and so on and so forth. So he writes as follows. That since Rashi said that the Eidus is really on Re'iyah, that which they saw didn't see, the Iker Isser is not their Eidus. The Ksiva is not the Iker part of Eidim Zomim. It's the Re'iyah that's really the Iker part. See, no matter how they give their testimony over, whether it's through Dibor, whether it's Ksiva, that's not the Isser of Eidim Zomim. Eidim Zomim is on the Re'iyah that they lied about. And the Ria, that has no Maisa. Although you could transmit it through Ksiva, it's the Ria which is really the Chayiv, that's the Mechayiv here, and we therefore categorize the Edom Zomim based on Ria, not based on the Ksiva.
Isn't this against the Rif, though? Because the Rif said that, you can just not, you don't need to speak. But if that's true, and we have the Din that says you need to speak, and the only case you're not able to, that you don't have to speak, is if you physically can't, so you write it down. But that's also a Maisa. I mean, the Riff was trying to say the reason it's not a Maisa is because I could not if I want to. You can't.
Yeah, but that's in essence what they're asking. Now, it could be the Riff argues on this. It could be the Riff says, Mipim lo pi ksavim. Never, you never ever have to write ksiva. There's a chiddush of the Kesem Mishnah, which maybe others argue. But they're asking, in the world of the Kesem Mishnah who allows ksiva to be written, so then that could be a Maisa. So he answered no, because since Rashi holds Eden Zomim Zedin in the Re'iyah, the ksiva is not the ikka. The ikka is really what they saw. We have to know what they saw, what they created. We need some type of transmission through dibor or through ksiva. But since the ikka iser that they did is what they saw, didn't see, that's why the ksiva really has no relevance. That's not the maisa vera. The maisa vera is the re'iyah. Now, what would you say according to the Rif, let's say, and the Ramban who hold that the iser is really the dibor, not the re'iyah, it's a dibor? It's about their Haggadah's Eidus. So if they hold to the Kesef Mishnah, that's an Isser in the Dibor, couldn't they articulate it through Ksiva? Why not? Why is that not called a Maisa? So here you have the Urim V'Tumim, Jonas and Eibschitz. I should have asked you the question who wrote that, but either way. Okay. Yeah. There you go. All right. Beautiful. So, look at whatever. Okay, he wasn't joking. Okay, so the Urim Tumim, the Rav Yonasan Eibishus is Mechadish, that this din of the Ksiva, that Ksiva is allowed according to the Kesef Mishnah, he says, is only a heter when it comes to Dini Mamanus. But as it relates to Dini Nefashos, their Ksiva won't work. So even if you hold like the Rif and you hold like the Balma, the Mechemes rather, that the Isser of Avedim Zomim is not in the Re'iyah, but it's more in the Dibur, they cannot pass over through Ksiva. Ksiva, Heter of Ksiva only works by other areas, but does not work in the world of Misa. Okay, fine. We did a lot today. Really, we did a lot. Let me quickly recap what we did. Some summary hopefully will help you a little bit. We started talking about the Aruch Lener, who said that Eden Zomim is a Misa, and he brought the proof from Tosas that's a Misa, an extended definition of what's called a Misa. And that we said probably because he assumes Eden Zomim is a Din in a Zikin, and therefore requires the regular rules of needing a Misa for Malkos. And then the Rambam argument says that there is no Misa by Eden Zomim because he doesn't think it has to fall into the rules, the general categories of Nezikin. It's a Chiddush HaTorah. We spoke about the Hasra, where the Hasra is a Din in Lahavchim and Chog Lemezid versus a Din in the Misa. We also spoke about the reason why you don't need Hasra for Eden Zomim is it because of Gemara and Ksubis versus the Rambam who holds it's about the Misa. And then we spoke about why would there not be a Misa by Eden Zomim, either because of Re'iyah like Rashi, or about the Dibor, the Rif, and the Mechames Hashem. And then we saw the Brisker Rav who made the Chilik within the Baal Ma'or, the Mechames Hashem rather, that when it comes to the Karban Shkagas Chatas, there it's about categories. What's a Dibor category? What's a Misa category? When it comes to Malkus, it depends not on categories, but what a person actually does. So we use that to explain the Ria, even though the Adam Zomim never actually saw anything, but Adam Zomim is a category of Ria, and therefore not subject to the Lachas of Karbanos. And then we finish off with this Kula of Kesef Mishnah, that Mipi Ksavim would actually be allowed to do Ksavim for those who are able to speak. So then how come we don't say it's a Maisa by Adam Zomim, since they could write down their Edus, either because the Isser of Eden Zomim is not about the Haggadah, it's really about Re'iyah, or because the Heter Ksiva does not apply to the world of Dina Nefesh. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, this is hard stuff, it requires a lot of Chazara. Amir Tashem, tomorrow we're going to do a much softer topic.